Have your Bibles, go to the book of Psalms. And we thank the Lord for this wonderful book in God's Word, the 16th division in the book of Psalms. Most of you should already be there, right? Because you know I was going there. All right, so you should already be there to save us some time. Psalm 16. Everybody can find Psalm. When we were kids, they used to say, just open, take your Bible and try to find in the middle and open up the Psalms. You'll get close, all right? And then the 16th division. There are 150 divisions in the book of Psalms, and we're going to look at the 16th one, where we've spent the last several weeks by the grace of God. David says in verse number 7, I will bless the Lord. Did you bless the Lord this week? Did you bless him today? I will bless the Lord at all times, he says, Psalm 34. Listen to him now in verse number 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. Thank God he knows what he's doing. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Our text verse we'll look at a little more today. I've set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And maybe we'll touch on verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad. He asked a few moments ago, how many of you have joy? Some of you hesitated to put your hand up. And then he said, come on, let me ask you again. And a whole bunch of you lied and put your hand up. So I don't know which one we did right at. We just cooperated or we told you. Listen, don't you believe God wants you to be glad? We used to sing a kid's song and said, the devil wants everybody sad. Jesus wants everybody happy. Jesus wants everybody glad. The Lord, the Bible says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. And fill me with thy spirit. Help me, Lord, to preach what thus saith the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you've given us already by way of worship. We thank you for every song. I pray, God, that you will now arrest our hearts. And, Lord, that you'll get us ready for the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. If anyone in here doesn't know Jesus as Savior, might today be the day that that one comes to a saving knowledge of the truth. Keep the devil from interfering. Oh, my goodness, he's busy. We thank you that he's already a defeated foe. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I have set the Lord always before me. Before me is in front of me, you know, where I can see him. I heard my dad tell this story years ago about a man whose wife had a shopping problem. You say, what's the man's name? Just put any name in there. And she just kept spending up all the money. And she could not go in the store without buying what she saw. So the man went to the doctor to find out exactly what kind of condition his wife had. And the doctor said, well, tell me what's going on with your wife. He says, well, she goes in the store. She tries on one of these outfits. And when she sees that outfit on, she hears a voice in her head that says, buy it, buy it, buy it. And when she hears that voice, she just can't resist. So she buys it and she spends more money than we have. And we're in financial turmoil. And we've got to find a way to get her victory over this problem. The doctor said, no, I don't know anything about this. Maybe you need to talk to the preacher. So she went to the preacher and asked him, and the husband went to the preacher and asked him. The preacher said, well, I can tell you what it is. That's the devil. The devil is telling her to buy those outfits. So when she hears that voice, she needs to respond by saying, get thee behind me, Satan. And, you know, you deal with Satan and she'll be able to resist that temptation and she won't spend that money that y'all don't have. So he told his wife rejoiced because she could keep going shopping but not have to worry about giving in to temptation. So she went back to the store the next day, saw a dress she liked, didn't worry about it. I can try it on. I know what to do when it happens. And so she tried it on. And when she got in that mirror and tried it on, she heard that voice say, buy it, buy it, immediately she remembered what the preacher said. That's the devil. So when she said, when she heard that in her head, she said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And then she heard a voice say to her, "It looks good from back here, too." Listen. If you're going to follow somebody, you don't need them behind you. You need them in front of you. All right. David said, "I've set the Lord before me." And by the way, sometimes we need the devil behind. We can see him. Amen. But we can deal with him. "I've set the Lord always before." He's in front of me. He's where I have my eyes. By the way, the Christian should be looking ahead, not looking back, not looking at other people. So many Christians can't serve God because they're looking at him and looking at her and looking at them and looking at what's happened before. "I've set the Lord always." He's right here before me. His desire for preservation, his duty to other people. It's my need for God to keep me that gives me the motivation to be a blessing to other people. If God is sustaining you, he's not sustaining you just to keep your mind on yourself. He's sustaining you so you think about other people. The most joyous people that I know are others-minded people. The most miserable people I know are selfish people. Thinking about themselves never get enough. Last week, our declaration of our portion. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. He is my portion. He is my lot. He is my inheritance. He is my everything. He is my all in all. He is everything I need. He is everything I want. He supplies my every need. He sustains me. He answers my... Listen to me. Aren't you glad that the Father that you run to is your portion? Aren't you glad that the God that you serve is your inheritance? It cannot be taken. He's my present possession. He's my pleasant provision. He's my praising profession. He says, "I have a goodly heritage. The lions are folded unto me in a pleasant place." He says, "God looks out for me and I will praise him. I will bless the Lord." I tell you, you're never going to have your joy sustained if you don't learn to worship God no matter what. Let me say that again. You're never going to have your joy sustained if you don't remember that you've got to worship God no matter what. I can't tell you how many Christians I hear that have given themselves an excuse not to worship. "Well, I can't really worship right now. I got a lot going on. I don't feel good. I don't have money in the bank. Things aren't going well. People aren't treating me right." Let me tell you something. You don't worship God because of circumstances. You worship God for God. Has there ever been a day you woke up and God wasn't good? Has there ever been a day you woke up and God wasn't God? Has there ever been a situation that God has abandoned you? Has there ever been a crisis where God wasn't there for you? Ever been a time you called and God didn't answer? Ever been a time you looked and God wasn't there? "I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth." By the way, the arm of flesh will fail you. I was reading this week, not to us, but to thine be all the glory. I was reading earlier this week this also. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Somebody ought to think just for a moment. Don't think too long. You'll get depressed. Think what your life would have been like if God wasn't on your side. Think about the circumstances that he brought you through. Think about the crises that he brought. Think about the mountains that he moved, the valleys that he exalted, the crooked paths that he made straight. Think about the prayers. The best thing about a prayer list is crossing something off. Some people never have anything to rejoice about because you never give God anything to answer. Put God to the test. Challenge him. Try him at his word. I can't tell you. Listen, the good thing about a prayer list is God not only answers stuff on the list, God answers stuff you didn't even put on the list. Aren't you? Groanings that cannot be uttered. Has God ever answered a prayer that you were going to get to pray and you never got around to it and he answered before you even started praying about it? Hey, we have a God that's omniscient. Amen. I heard a preacher say this week, "I'm optimistic, but God is omniscient." Amen. Hey, we think well about things, but God knows everything. So he said, "He is my portion." Now, write down this morning the determination of his position. For a couple of weeks, the declaration of his portion. Now, the determination of his position. Now, look at this moment. God is going to do what he's supposed to do every time. Let me say that again. God is going to do what he's supposed to do every time. Now, here's my responsibility. I need to do what I'm supposed to do. Now, that's the tough part. I know that is in my flesh dwelleth what? Come on, say it with me. No good thing. Say it again. Say it again. So Paul said, best Christian in all of the Bible, I put no confidence in the flesh. I was a youth pastor for, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, 15, 29 years. Seems like an eternity. We used to take young people on trips. And, you know, you take them on buses. And sometimes you take them on buses or vans. And, you know, and by the time you're coming back from that trip on that van or the bus, it's dark. And you've got boys and girls on the same van, on the same bus. And we take the boys and put them in one section and the girls put them in another section. Or we get on the bus and put the boys over here and the girls over there. And I'd look at the teenagers and I'd say, it's not that we don't trust you. It's just that we don't trust you. You know why I don't trust teenagers? Because we don't trust ourselves. Listen, I don't care how long you've been saved. If you started trusting yourself, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You cannot trust yourself. I'm amazed at how many Christians function in their life every single day without any spiritual checks and balances. Come on, don't get quiet on me. You need somebody looking in on your life. And listen to me. I don't care how many you tell people, check on me, check on me, watch out for me, make sure I don't stumble, make sure I don't mess up, stay on top of me. People can only look as deep into your life as you let them. Somebody help me preach. Pastor, I just need you to stay on me. If you see me messing up, tell me about it. Yeah, I can't see you because you keep hiding it. How am I going to see you messing up if you keep doing it undercover? How am I going to see you messing up if you keep operating under an alias? How am I going to keep see you messing up if you got 2 and 3 and 4 or 5 secret accounts? How am I going to see you messing up if you go 35 miles out of town to sin and you know how much gas costs? I ain't chasing you 35 miles out of town. I'm finding out that people want accountability so they can have somebody on record as being their accountability partner. But deep down inside, they don't want to be accountable because can't nobody check nothing that you don't show them. Preach, Pastor. Hey, let me say, we all need checks and balances. The problem is we ascend up the ladder in life and we think that the higher we go, the less we need. Listen to me. The more that you have responsible, the more that you have that you're responsible for, the more you need somebody. Every husband needs somebody looking in on him. Amen. Every wife needs somebody looking in on her. Every pastor needs some. Listen, I don't care who you are. I mean, I preach several times a week. I'm in my Bible every morning. I'm praying every day. Listen, I have accountability. I have a habit every single day of my life of making a phone call to my father, not because he's bored, because I need spiritual accountability. This is where I am. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm getting into. These are the decisions that I make. I have a calendar. And my calendar that I where I am every single day is synced with my wife, so when I'm not home, she can say, he's here, he's meeting with this person, he's going to this place, he's doing this. Listen to me, I worry about husbands all kind of places their wife don't know where they at. Say, Pastor, is this in Psalm 16? It is now. Teenager, when you don't want your parents in your business, you're probably doing something you shouldn't be doing. Come on now. Ladies, you want to go on a trip and you don't want your husband? I'm going with the girls. Don't call me. Don't bother me. Don't worry about where I'm going. Them some girls you don't need to be hanging with. And shame on you if you marry getting all your advice from single women. Amen. I might just say this. Shame on you if you're single getting all your advice from single women. You're trying to get out of there. You better get somebody already gone. I find out when people mess up, they go to other people that mess up. People fall in sin, they go to other people in sin. People don't have a clue, they go to other people don't have a clue. People go blind, they ask another blind person to walk across the street. That's just crazy. Come on now. You're just not going to see Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles walking across the street together. And listen to me. They're both smart men, but listen to me. If you're blind, you need somebody with sight that can help you. And David said, the Lord hath given me counsel. God has counseled me. Aren't you glad that he sees all, he knows all, he understands all? In these last days, we got so many people that have lost their way. And it amazes me. People mess up and then they're trying to help everybody else. I'm all in sin, but let me counsel you. You're in sin. Hush. Hush. You concentrate on getting right with God and let somebody that's walking straight tell other people where to walk. Amen. God always walks straight. Walk in the light as he is in light. He's given me counsel, and as a result of receiving his counsel over and over and over again. Hear what the songwriter said? I run to the Father. What is it now? Again and again and again and again. Watch this now. I've been talking to him so much now, my reins instruct me in the night seasons. My conscience is a learned conscience. Jiminy Cricket. Remember Jiminy Cricket in Pinocchio? Let your conscience be your guide. Let your conscience be your guide. No, you better not let your conscience be your guide unless your conscience is guided by somebody's character who's always right. As for God, his way is perfect. Your conscience, according to the New Testament, can be seared with a hot iron. You know what that means? It gets rendered insensitive. It gets numb. Your skin gets ripped off. It has no sensitivity anymore. I was saying recently, one of the greatest gifts that God ever gives us is the gift of pain. You touch a stove and you say, ouch. Thank God that you still know what ouch means. Because if you don't say ouch, then you're going to keep touching it. Listen to me. Some people have gotten into sin so long, they don't say ouch anymore. They've heard so much profanity. They've listened to so much nonsense. When you first heard it, you said, I don't need to hear it. And you next heard it, you said, I really don't need to hear it. And you said, well, it don't sound too bad. And then, well, you know, I only listened to it one time. Next thing you know, you're moving. Listen to me now. You've grown insensitive. You've got to listen to me. Stand in awe and sin not. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance. The fear of the Lord is to beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The more that I'm in reverence with God, the more that I have a sensitivity towards sin. This world is trying to desensitize you. The devil is trying to desensitize. It's on the commercials. It's on the sitcoms. It's in Hallmark. Now, there used to be people start talking about stuff. People say, you're crazy. Now you go to Hallmark and buy a card. I got two daddies. I got two mamas and this and that and the other. They're desensitizing us. God help us. God help us. There used to be a generation of believers that called sin what it was. And just because you hate sin doesn't mean you hate sinners. Jesus was perfect. He who's without sin cast the first stone. Go and sin no more. You found the right position and the right disposition. The position is I hate sin. The disposition is I love sinners. You can do the same. They're not mutually exclusive. But nowadays we got people that love sin and hate sinners. Or love sin and love sinners. God help us. Now look at the determination of his position. The certainty of God's proximity. He's at my right hand. He is. Everybody say he is. There's a confidence in David. The certainty. He is. He's at my right hand. He's close. He's comforting. And not only the certainty of God's proximity, but notice the conviction about his own performance. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Because, everybody say because. That's a big word. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. If David were alive today, you know it. Or if David borrowed the vernacular of today in Psalm 16, this is how he would talk. Because I'm the king of Israel, I shall not be moved. Because I've got many servants and riches, I shall not be moved. Because I killed Goliath back in the day, I shall not be moved. Because when I played the harp, the evil spirit ran from Saul, I shall not be moved. Because I'm the sweet psalmist of Israel, I shall not be moved. Because I'm responsible for writing a bunch of scripture, I shall not be moved. Because I've been called a man after God's own heart, I shall not be moved. Because I've been doing this thing a long time, I shall not be moved. Because I sing in the choir, I shall not be moved. Because I'm an usher or deacon, I shall not be moved. Because I pastor a church, I shall not be moved. Because I've done a lot for God over the years, I shall not be moved. Because I give people counsel about spiritual things, I shall not be moved. Because I have a marriage that seems to be intact, I shall not. Because I have good motives and I'm sincere, I shall not be moved. Throw all of that stuff in the trash can. It's not enough. Everything you do in life will crumble unless you're doing right because God is at your right hand. all of my spiritual capability is bound up in God's proximity to my life. How close God is to you. Whither shall I ascend from thy presence? If I shall take my wings and fly in the morning, thou art there. If I shall go down in the pit of hell, thou art there. If I shall go in the darkest night, even there thou art with me. The omnipresence of God. Listen, there's nowhere I can go where God is not. But here in Psalm 16, it is not on God's omnipresence to be near me. It is on my choice as a believer to keep it. See, you can't go anywhere where God is not. But how close God is to you is not up to God. Let me say it again. How close God is to you is not up to God. I'm going to say it again. How close, see, the reason why we're not better Christians is because we keep blaming everyone and everything for why we're not. How close God is to you is not up to God. It is 12:08. According to that clock, according to my phone. If you haven't read your Bible 12 hours into July the 10th, it's not God's fault. And if you don't read it in 12 more hours, don't tell me because you had a lot going on. Because some of that stuff that was going on, you should have moved off of your going on list and read your Bible. It's 12:09 almost now. If you haven't prayed today, it's not God's fault. Wait. If there was traffic on I-95, you can't control it. If gas goes up 10 cents more tomorrow, you can't control it. If the legislators put out laws that disagree with this Bible, you can't control it. Anybody listening? If the person beside you on the road is speeding and driving recklessly, and when you honk the horn, flicks something at you that you don't want to see, you can't control it. But you can control whether you read your Bible. You can control whether you pray. Listen, Pastor, this is so simple. I hear people talk all the time. Well, this is why this happened. This is why it's this fault. Is that? Listen, you've got to decide at the end of the day. I can't control the devil. I can't control people. I can't control my circumstance. But here's what I can do. I can get up every day and set the Lord ever. I don't know a better way to get God close to you than get up in the morning and make sure he's the first person you talk to. How in the world do you climb out of bed and slip the clothes on that God gave you money to buy it and eat the food that God gave you money to purchase it, get in a car that God gave you the resources to get in and to go to a job that God gave you, talk to all the people that God put in your life and drive up and down the road and complain about this and complain about that and never once stop and say, thank you, Jesus, for waking me up this morning. Thank you for putting food on my table. Thank you for putting a roof over my head. Thank you for keeping me in my right mind, or at least what closely resembles it. Thank you, God, that I'm saved. Thank you, God, that between last night and this morning, I didn't lose my salvation. I've set the Lord always before me. Who's going to do it if you don't do it? Well, things happen in my life and situations happen and people did me wrong and people I looked up to let me down and somebody mistreated me and that just messed up my relationship with God. Don't tell nobody that. Because if what they did messed you and God up, you and God didn't have much in the first place. I have said. I'm trying to help you this morning. It's afternoon now. You're going to run into situations. They can't make God move out of your life. Here's what they do. They play with your mind. Come on, everybody listening. How many of you would admit trials play with my mind? Come on, put your hand. And they get me contemplating making decisions. And then I make the choice to not set God before me like I should. And when I get in front of the judge and the judge said, what happened? They moved God out the way. They knocked God down. They messed up my Christian walk. No. They played with my mind. And because I didn't keep my mind right, next morning I got up, I didn't read like I should. I didn't come to church like I should. I didn't tithe like I should. Nobody ever stopped tithing because it got too financially difficult. They stopped tithing because they didn't set the Lord before them. Yeah, I just lost most of you. I told you when you get quiet, you're telling yourself. You better just say amen to everything. And then just ask God for forgiveness. Under any other circumstances, David's statement in verse number 8, our theme for this year is an arrogant one. I shall not be moved. We've all met people who walked around like that, right? I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Not me. Be careful, Pharisee. 2 weeks from now, you might be the publican. Be careful, stone thrower. Next year, you might be the one caught in adultery. Anybody listening? Be careful, condemner. Next time, you might be the condemned. We are so good at saying what we'd never do till the circumstances surrounding the people doing it surround us. I was talking to a family recently, and that family was going through the process of making a decision about a loved one being placed in a home. I think it was out of town. And the family said, this is a real struggle for us. You know, we borrow these phrases all the time. Bless God, I ain't never put my loved one in no home. You might think twice when you can't take care of them. We can be so judgmental on people till we find out those circumstances come on us. I shall not be moved. I'll never fall into that. That will never happen to my marriage. Be careful. My children would never be caught dead doing that. Be careful. Be careful what you say about people while they're down, because you're going to have a problem listening to other people say it about you when you're down. Sounds arrogant, doesn't it? I shall not be moved unless you put the phrase before it. Because he's at my right hand. Can I give you a parallel passage where David in many ways could sound arrogant, but he's not? Psalm 26. And I just had it in my head. I might have to look at it. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. Now I got it. I have trusted also in the Lord. Listen to David. Therefore, I shall not slide. How are you going to say, David, you're not going to slide? I'll tell you why. I've trusted in the Lord. I've walked in mine integrity. Here's what he's saying. The only Christian confidence that a believer has to be assured that he will not sin is putting God in the right place in his life. What would Crossroads Baptist Church be like if every member that can't change the weather, can't change the finances, can't change the government, can't change what people do, can't change the gas prices, but got up every day and said, as a member of Crossroads Baptist Church, I'm going to get up and set the Lord ever before. Listen, the devil will throw his tricks and the devil will go his gimmicks and the world will do its stuff, but there'll be a bunch of Christians who will say, it doesn't matter what other people do. We got God where he belongs. We shall not slide and we shall not be moved. I tire of so many moving Christians. And then we look for excuses to blame other people for why we moved. Listen, you make up your mind. Remember the song the choir sang? Even in the hard times, I'm going to praise him anyway. And the end of that song says, worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship and bless his name. If you can manage in your toughest times to worship the Lord, guess what? You shall not be moved. Take my word for it as your pastor. It's not going to get easier for the Christian to stand the closer we get to the return of Christ. I was talking to a church member this week about these companies that are making a vocal stance about supporting stuff that we don't agree. And the Christian gets caught up and says, I mean, what do I patronize these companies? When do I stop going to these places? This is hard. I mean, it's hard to figure out what to do. For long, you figure you can't get nothing nowhere. And if you're not a child of God that's willing to meet those challenges, listen to me, young people. You cannot spend the rest of your life talking about you don't disagree with nothing. It doesn't work. Well, I'm not against nothing. I don't have a problem with it. I don't do it, but I don't really think it's that bad. I used to think it was bad, but I don't think it's bad anymore. You're probably doing it. People say, I used to think stuff was bad. I don't think it's bad anymore. Most times they've started doing it, and they can't say it's bad because they'd be guilty. Just because you started doing it doesn't mean it's not bad. You're going to have to be against something. If you're not against something, you'll be doing everything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for it. Listen, because he's at my right hand. Boy, I want God close. And anything and anybody in my life that is serving as an interference to my keeping God close needs to go. And if you're pushing out the things in your life, the people in your life, the word in your life, the church in your life, bless you. If you're pushing out the stuff in your life that keeps God close, you better pull it back in. And you better take some time this week. Get real pragmatic about it. Write every influence down in your life. I've been there. All the people that I'm spending time with, I'm talking with, I'm on Facebook with. I'm not on Facebook. You on Facebook with. Somebody said don't use Facebook no more. What is it? Instagrams and Click Clock and TikTok what else to do? Anything else? Snapchat. Oh, goodness. I don't even want to talk about Snapchat. Because there's a lot of people snapping and chatting about stuff they don't have no business doing. Say amen. Not everybody, but a whole lot of them. And sometimes you can go in looking for something good and you come out with a pebble of good and a whole boatload of bad. All these people in your life that are influencing, write them down. And then evaluate. Does this person help me keep God before me? Does this habit help me keep God before me? Do you have anybody in your life that when you leave their presence, they make you want to be closer to God? Get around them more. You have people in your life, when you get around them, God never comes up. I have an Android, so I'm not familiar with iPhone. Do they have delete on iPhones? They have that? Okay. So find delete on there. It's amazing. Well, I don't like to ignore them when they call because it might hurt their feelings. You ignore good people when they call. They always want me to be around. I feel bad telling them no. You don't feel bad missing church. You're going to have to learn how to delete things out of your life. Nobody can make God not be close, but if they're influencing you for God not to be close, get them out your life. You just, somehow you do is hit one button. Why do you keep hanging around the same people? Because I need help keeping God close. And when people won't help you, let them go. If they really want to be in your life, they'll start keeping God close like you do, and y'all can get together again. Between now and then, don't let anybody knock you off your course. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. Say with me, I shall. Y'all did good with that. One more time and I'm done. See how many of y'all were moved and I didn't even move my hand? Amen. Father, we love you and we thank you. God, I feel challenged while I'm speaking. We complicate our lives so much. We're so busy trying to fix this and change this and move this. That's not our job. We got to find a way every day to keep you before us. God help us. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Pastor, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I have Bible reasons to prove it. If you know that, would you raise your hand? Saved, going to heaven, Bible reasons to prove it. Put your hands down. Pastor, I'm guilty at times at letting the circumstances in my life and the people around me, the happenings, knock me off my job of keeping God ever before. I'm praying for God to give me the determination of David to do my part to keep God before me. Hands are already up. Come on. God bless you. My, my, my. It's a challenge. Whew. It's nobody's fault but ours when we don't. And we got to be more constructive. Do what we got to do. Maybe you're in the building today and you say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you. I'm not 100% sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. Please pray for me. I'm not 100% for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to go to hell. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? God bless you. There's a hand. Anyone else? I'm just not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I do not want to die and go to hell. And I'd just like you to pray for me. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. If that's you, just slip your hand up long enough for me to see it. Yes. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. We're not going to embarrass you here. We just want to pray for you. Bless you. Bless you. Anyone else? Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If you're here today and you never accepted Christ as your Savior, the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You may be tuning in online today. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be unsure of where you're going when you die. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You'll bow your head right where you are, in your seat, in your home, in your car, wherever you are. Say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. I believe Jesus died for me, was buried, and rose again. As best as I know how, I'm putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Please, Lord, save my soul. If that's you, you've prayed that prayer and you prayed it and you meant it. Would you slip your hand up just right where you are and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. There's a hand. God bless you that went up earlier. Yes, there's another. Anyone else? Anyone else? May God help us. Father, bless us now as we contemplate what we've heard. Help us, Lord. Forgive us for all the pressure that we're under, using that as an excuse for not keeping you before us. We're all human. We're all flawed. But help us to get our priorities in order, to keep you where you belong, so we'll stay where we belong. In Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen. Let's give God.